Okay, today's daf is Baba Kama, daf Tzadi Gimel. We are on daf Tzadi Beis Amin Beis. We left off, we're in the middle of going through all the conversations between Rava and Rabba Bar Mari. So I forgot what number it is already that we're up to. I think something like number 11 or 12. It is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 lines down into the wide lines, I think, where we left off yesterday. So I'm really Rava Rabba Bar Mari. Minaha Milsa Damri Inchi. From where do we know that which people say that when a dog is hungry, it will even eat rocks? Right? Rashi has two deos of here. What galali means? Galali normally means its own excrement, or not lavdafka its own, but it will eat excrement. But over here he says it means, more likely it means that it will eat rocks when it's so hungry. As dechsiv, so he quotes the following pasuk: nefesh sveya tavus nofes. Nefesh Re'eva Kolmar Matok. And the point is, I think, from the second half of the pasuk of Nefesh Re'eva Kolmar Matok, that when you have a hungry soul, anything bitter will be sweet to it, meaning the dog is going to be very happy to eat anything when it's starving. So the Iyun Yaakov over here suggests maybe the nafkamina between whether it's referring to excrement or it's referring to a rock is in Shas Hadchak, when it's Shnas Ha-Ra'av, when during times of famine, is it going to be considered Bal Teshaktsu to eat these things? So whichever one it is, it's not going to be Bal Teshaktsu to eat, even though normally both would be usher to eat, because you're not allowed to eat something that's disgusting. But the Achrona point out that that's a very difficult application. We're talking about a dog over here. We know the standards for what a dog is going to eat, hopefully, are different than the standards for what a person is going to eat. That's built into the halacha. We were just discussing recently about the halachos of kashrus for the whole year and kashrus for Pesach, right? So we always point out the most fundamental distinction is, one of the major chumras we have about chametz, is that by kashrus during the whole year, if you have something that's not roi l'achilas adam, it's kasher. If you have something that's not roi l'achilas adam, so it's not going to be considered treif. Obviously, we have a concept of achshavei, where if you eat it anyway, so then you make it like a food. But stam, if we have something that's not roi l'achilas adam, we consider that even if it's made out of pig, it's kosher. Whereas when you have something that's not roi l'achilas kelev by Pesach, that's when we consider it to be not a problem of chametz. That's why all the pills and everything aren't a problem of chametz, because it's not roi l'achilas kelev. But so built into the system is the understanding, that the fundamental understanding, that a dog's standards are different than a human being's standards. So it's hard to understand how we can apply anything from here to the Yisra of Bal Teshaktsu during years of famine. Armalei Rav al-Rab bar Mari minal mil sadam rienshi. Next conversation, from where do we know that which people say, mitayel va'azel dik labisha gabekina desharchi, that a bad dekel tree will always go near a kina desharchi, near Rashi says means ilanos betelim venos and pri, near other trees that don't produce any fruits, meaning the bad people find each other. People hang out with their own ilk. So Amalei Davrzak Kasav B'Torah Shana B'Neviim Mishulish B'Ksuvim Mitzama Asisa V'Tanina B'Braisa. He says that's so obvious, that is so abundantly clear in our tradition, that the idea that people find people of their own ilk to be together with is repeated, is appears in the Torah, Navi, Ksuvim, Mishnah, and Braisa. It appears in every level of Jewish learning. Kasav B'Torah Duchse V'Yelech Esav El Yishmael. And so you have, it's written in the Torah, it's says Ve'yelech Esav El Yishmael. So you see that the Esav finds the Yishmael. Shonei b'Neviim, and it's repeated in the Neviim, Dichsev Ha'islak to El Yiftach Anashim Reikim Ve'yu Imo, that Yiftach found a bunch of hoodlums, a bunch of guys who were bad guys, and they followed him, and they were his band of people. Now, Yiftach was a very successful warrior. That's how he got drafted to, that's how he got chosen to help the Jewish people, and to be the shofet, because they needed a military leader. They needed someone who was strong, and he was basically this guy who came from, meaning Yiftach we think of as a shofet. So what's the Gemara saying? That there were Anashim Reikim together with Yiftach. Yiftach is a shofet. No, but the point is, Yiftach was the shofet whose mother was a zona, who came from nothing. He came from a terrible background, and that's who he attracted. That's who would follow along with him. He was sent out of his home as a young child. He had to run away, so he was he did not come from a very prestigious upbringing. So I mean, what he did become was a shofet, and he was a war hero. Obviously, though the expression Yiftach Bedaro Kishmul Bedaro is specifically meant to highlight the fact that he was no Shmuel, meaning he was not someone who you would pick and hope would be the leader of the Jewish people. He just happened to have won it by default in his generation. And in fact, we find the Gemara tells us elsewhere that that there are three people that made deals with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and for two of them it worked out well, and for one of them it didn't. Meaning, three people who made inappropriate deals with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, things that they should not have done perhaps, and for two of them worked out well, and for one of them it didn't. And the Gemara tells us that, for instance, Eliezer Eved Avram made a deal with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The first girl that comes here and offers to give Gamla Gamalecha Hashka, that's going to be the one to marry Yitzchak. So the Gemara says, who knows, maybe Sumor Chigeres could have come along and he would have had to give her to Yitzchak. That would have been terrible. It could have been something totally inappropriate. But he got lucky and Rivka came along. So he did well. Shaul HaMelech said, whoever goes and is able to defeat Goliath is going to have my daughter for a wife. How did he know who was going to come along? It might have been a mamzer that would come along and defeat Goliath. He got lucky, and it was David. He didn't feel so lucky probably most of his life, but he got lucky, and it was David. And the example of someone who had an inappropriate deal and it did not work was Yiftach. Yiftach said that if I win this war, first thing that comes out of my house, I'm going to slaughter HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the first thing that walked out of his house was his daughter. Now, why is that? The Gemara just makes the comment. But why is it that it works out for Eliezer, it works out for Shaul, and it doesn't work out for Yiftach? It also happens to be there's another example the Gemara doesn't give. Tosfos raises the issue that by Kalev also, that Kalev said, whoever can capture the city of Kiryas Arba is going to get my daughter as a achsa, as a wife, and Asnil ben Kenaz was the one who captured the city, and therefore he's the one that married Achsa. Achsa is an unusual name. The Gemara Dashens, her name is related to Kaas, which not that she was an angry person, but that anyone who would see her in her tznius, the level of her tznius, would become so angry at his own wife for being such a prutza by comparison that she was called Achsa, that she was it's really related to her tznius. But either way, the point is that you see with all these great tzaddikim, it worked out, right? For Kalev also, who knows who would have gotten conquered, but it turned out that it was a Sneel ben Kenaz, so he did okay. So in all these cases, you see, the point is that these were people who were very worthy people, as opposed to Yiftach. He's considered to be, from the less worthy, but nevertheless, he was a shofet of Klal Yisrael. So anyway, but the point is that Anashim Rekim attached themselves to him, and that's where you see in Nevi'im the idea that people matza minas mino, as they say, umeshulish b'ksuvim, and it's also again highlighted in ksuvim. D'ksiv kol of lumino yishkonu bnei adam l'domelo. Pasuk says, except it doesn't really. Kol of lumino yishkonu bnei adam l'domelo. So you look through all of ksuvim, you're not going to find that pasuk, and that's what Rashi and Tosfos both point out over here, that this is from Sefer Ben Sira. Rashi says, I think it is from Sefer Ben Sira. Tosfos says, maybe it's from Sefer Ben Sira, but the point is, it's from Sefer Ben Sira. It's not from actually Pesukim Ksuvim, and we find numerous places in Chazal where they say Dichsiv, and it's not really from anywhere in any of the Ksuvim, it's not from any of the books that were canonized, but nevertheless, it's from Sefer Ben Sira. Chazal used Sefer Ben Sira extensively. Tanan b'masnisin, it appears in our Mishnah, kol mechuber l'tamei tamei, kol mechuber l'tahar tahar. And the Mishnah says, anything that's mechuber to something tamei is tamei, anything that's mechuber to something tahar is tahar. Rashi says that we're talking specifically about like a metal nail. So if it's nailed into something that is mekabel tuma, so then it too can be mekabel tuma. But if it's nailed into something that's not mekabel tuma, Shuta Kliyetz or something like that, it's not Mekabel Tumah, so then even though it's made out of metal, once it's part of something that's not Mekabel Tumah, it too is not Mekabel Tumah. That's the idea. Anything that's Mechuber to Tameh becomes Tameh. Anything that's Mechuber to Tar becomes Tar. V'tanina b'braisa, and the idea again is repeated in the b'raisa. Rav Lozer Amar lo luchinim halach zarzir etzel orev el mnei shuhumino. The zarzir and the orev are the same min. So in the zarzir, we assume, is a non-kosher bird, according to Rav Lozer. We don't pass in that way, I don't think, but it's a non-kosher bird, and therefore we assume it goes together with the Oriv, which is also a non-kosher bird. Fine. Next comment or discussion between Rav and Rav Bar Mari. Amalei Rav al Rav Bar Mari, mina mil sadamri inchi Karisa chavrcha v'loancha rami guda rabba shadibe. From where do we know that which people say that if you call your friend and he doesn't answer you, take a big wall and throw it at him? And Rashi says, what in the world does that mean? You should take a big wall and throw it at him? Rashi says, Karisa chavrcha lahochicha v'loancha. You try to give a musa, you try to be mekayim the mitzvah of tochicha, and he doesn't respond. So dachi guda kosal hapelo lav kolomar hanicha v'yipol berisho. That you should let him just suffer with his sins. Let him, you know, give up on him already, and let him dig his own hole and continue to sin. There's nothing you could do after you've already tried. This is the obvious kasha. The Shar Mitzvah Balachov here quotes from the Iyun Yaakov that he asks that it says in the Gemara Neiruchin Tazayin and Beis. Hochichov lo kibel. If you gave him musar already and he was not mekabel, yachsev yachichenu. You should be giving musar again. How do I know that? Tamalomer tochiach. It doesn't just say hochiach. It says hochiach tochiach. So you see that you have to give double musar. You can't give up so easily. So it sounds against our Gemara. Also, the Gemara in daf lamed alef. The Gemara says afilu mei pa'amim. Hochiach tochiach. You got to keep on pounding away. You have to keep on giving a musar. You can't give up. So it's a little bit difficult how that fits with our Gemara, where our Gemara seems to say, look, you tried. He didn't listen. No, what can you do? You're only human. You have to let him. He has bechira chavshus. You have to let him suffer from the consequences of his choices. So the Shar Mitzvah Valachov here says the efshar demehay time akas rosh bepsakav. Maybe this is why the Rosh Paskins b'shem Rav Paltai dekay al misha mesayv level adin. That our Gemara is not about giving tocha in general. It's talking about summoning someone to a din Torah, issuing a subpoena to a din Torah, that they try to bring him to a din Torah and he doesn't want to go. Then mutalelech la'archaos kedei lahotzi yashlam mitachas yadav. Then you're allowed to go to the secular courts if that's the only way, if that's your only recourse in order to retrieve whatever it is of yours that he has. Again, that's not the way Rashi understands it, but maybe that's why the Rosh understands it differently. That's what he's saying, that if he doesn't listen to you, meaning when you summon him to a din Torah, that's when let the wall fall on him, meaning you can go to the Archaos. The Anaf Yosef quotes in the name of the Gra, based on the Zohar, that when it comes to Tochacha, there is a limit. I mean, unlike the Gemara B'Metzia, Afilu Mei Pa'amim, he says, no, the first time you have to be Mochiach in B'Seser. You do it privately in a very respectful way where no one else is going to hear. Second time in front of his Krovim, in front of his family, so that maybe he'll be a little more embarrassed. Third time, Barabim Bashuk, you should give him the Musar. And the fourth time, you leave him alone. Fourth time, you don't give him Musar anymore. And that's what the Pasuk means, Al Arba'a Lo Ashivenu. That on the fourth time, it's no longer time to give him Musar. So that's what we're talking about over here. Must be the fourth time already. That's when we say you give up already. So anyway, how do I know this? Amalei, Yan Tiarticha V'lo Tiarta Mutumasech Lo Tatari Od. So if Tiarticha, and I tried to be Matari you, but you were not Matar from your Tuma, so Lo Tatari Od. So that's it, I'm going to give up trying. Next conversation. Amalei Rav L'Rad Bar Mari Minah Milsa Damri Inchi Bir D'Shasas Minei Lo Tishti Beikala. If you have a boar that you drank from, so you shouldn't throw in a clump of earth to ruin the waters of the bar. Meaning, whenever you got benefit from something, you have to have a certain amount of hakaras hatov, and you can't go ahead and ruin it. So that we have a certain level of hakaras hatov to the Edomim and to the Mitzrim because the Edomi because of Chichuhu, but the Mitzri because we lived in his land. Now, granted, it wasn't a very pleasant stay, but nevertheless, there's always a certain sense of hakaras hatov whenever we got any sort of benefit from something. So even a bar that you drank from once, you shouldn't go and ruin it. Armalei Rava L'Rabba Bar Mari Minal Milsa Damri Inchi Idalisa Dura Dalina V'lo Lo Dalina. How do I know that which people say that, look, if you're willing to go and draw the water, then I'll draw also. But if you're not, then I'm not going to go with you. Meaning, sometimes people have the right to say, if you're going to help me, I'll be happy to help. But if you're not going to help me, I'm not doing this on my own. That's similar to the Gemara B'Metzia when the Gemara talks about prikas chamor, right? When you have bundles on top of someone's donkey and they need help unloading the donkey. So you're only mechuyev to help them if they're trying to help themselves also. But if they're going to sit and say, yeah, I'll enjoy myself and watch you work hard for me, so then you're under no obligation to do that. It's only if the person is willing to help along that you go ahead and do it for them. So Amalei Dixiv Vayomer Eileh Barak Im Telchi Imi Vahalachti Vim Lo Telchi Imi Lo Eileh. We're drawing on Sefer Shoftim a lot today. Right, so I was at a Shabbos table a couple of months ago, and someone said, who was Barak? You know, Barak Obama was, everyone was talking about Barak Obama. So who was Barak a Navi? Barak was the guy, Pash Pshar Navi was not Devorah's husband, but Chazal tell us he was Devorah's husband. Devorah is described as Eshes Lapidos, the wife of Lapidos. So that's what the Chazal tell us, that Lapidos is a reference to Barak. But Barak definitely plays a role in the Devorah story, because when it's time to go out to war, Devorah tells Barak, no, we have to go out to war, this is what you're going to do, and here's where you attack. And Barak says, you think I'm going alone? You come with me and I'll go. But I'm not going alone, I'm not going to go fight without you. So he chickened out a little bit. He was only willing to go if Devorah was willing to come along and help him. And even though obviously she couldn't help in the actual war effort, because it's Ein Darka Shel Isha Lichbosh, but Melchamas Mitzvah she can help in a supporting way, but he said, I'm not going unless you come with me. And that's when Devorah said to him, look, you're not going to come, then the credit for the Melchama is going to go to a woman. If you don't come with you, you're going to be embarrassed, because you're going to be the general, and then the credit for the Melchama is going to go to a woman. And that's in fact what happened when Sisera ran away from the battle front, and Yael found Sisera, or Sisera found Yael, because Yael was Eshes Chever Akeni, so Sisera had a relationship with the Kenim, with the Bedouins, so he thought he was okay, he thought he'd be protected by Yael, and in fact, of course, Yael got him, gave him to drink. The Pasuk says gave him milk to drink, so many understand it means white wine also, got him drunk, and killed him. And she was the one that got the credit for the war, and that was part of Shira's Devorah, was about how Yael gets the credit for the war more than Barak. But so Barak is not really the most inspirational figure in the sense that he chickened out. He said he's not going to go unless Devorah comes along with him. So that's where Barak comes from. Rabbi Lichtstein in his sermon that was published a while ago said that when he met Barack Obama, President Obama said to him, you know, my name means blessing, but if the Jewish version of the name Barak has nothing to do with blessing, it's with a kuf, it's not with a chaf, right? It's Barak is an actual biblical name, it's not Baruch. But okay, anyway, that's our drush on Barak today. But the point is, so you see from there this notion that sometimes people say, you're going to come help me out, I'll be happy to go, but if you're not going to come, I won't go. And the Gemara makes it sound like it's a positive thing, that it's okay to do that, that it's at least normal to do it, you see, because Barak did it. Okay. Amalei Rav L'Rab Bar Mari, Minam Milsa Damri Inshi, next conversation, where do we know that which people say, Kadavin and Zutri L'Gavri, when I used to be young, so people treated me like a man. We were very chashuv. Now that we're older, we're not given any chashivas anymore, right? Rashi says, "Hashta dekashishna, achshav she's kananu, hinnu shfelim kitinokos." We're treated like little babies. So, ironically, we're getting less respect in our old age than we did in our youth. Amalei may karak siv Hashem halech lefneim yomem ba'amud anan l'chosam aderech v'layla ba'amud eish la'ir lahem. First it says, when we were a young nation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu led us directly. He was the one that came Bamud Anan and Bamud Esh during the daytime and nighttime respectively to lead us. But then we got a little bit older, and Hine Enochi Shalech Malach Lefanech L'Shmarcha B'Derech. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent a Malach along the way to lead us. So it sounds like he didn't lead us directly. He didn't give us the same chashivos that we had that when we were younger. In the Shar Mitzvah Balachov here, he quotes from the Shailos Tshuvos Halachos Ketanos, Chelik Beisim Kuf Lamed Tes, that when a person experiences tzara, after a time of unusual success, after a time of great success, that tzara is that much more poignant and that much more painful, because the person knows what it means to be successful. And he says that's in Galus, the reason Galus is so painful is because we've experienced Geula in the past. And he says that's what the Gemara means when it says, Kalavinan zutri legavri hashad de kashish ledardki. Not like we're saying stam that when we get older we were treated with less respect. No, it means that when we were small and we had no high expectations, so we thought of ourselves as okay. We didn't think of ourselves as having any major problems. But now that we know what our potential is, now that we know what ku'ula is, now that we're old, that we're really chashiv, and we understand our chashivas, and we understand our potential for chashivas, then we're ledardiki. Then we realize that we're really in a very bad matzav, that we're not in a good situation compared to what we could be in. He says that could be the pshat and the kina that we say in Tishba Veish Tukad Bikirbi, right, where we contrast the Betzesi Mirushalayim and Betzesi Mimitzrayim. The point is that Betzesi Mimitzrayim, we have a very high level of joy, but that only makes the pain of Betzesi Mirushalayim that much greater. Meaning Tishba is not a day to celebrate. Meaning Pesach, now we're in the time of Gula. Now we celebrate Betzesi Mimitzrayim. Why in Tishba do we have a kina that half of it relates to Betzesi Mimitzrayim, that relates to the great joy of leaving Mitzrayim? But no, that's exactly the point. The pain of leaving Yerushalayim is only felt when contrast, or is most felt when contrasted with the joy of leaving Mitzrayim. And that's what he writes in the Shalos Tshuvos Halachos Ketanos, that he says, in his opinion, if you read Shir HaShirim with proper kavana, and you really pay attention to what kind of relationship we can have with the Ribbono Shalom, it could be a more depressing sefer than Eicha. Because Eicha is just, you know, sad, terrible destruction. Shir HaShirim tells us what we could have been. And that sometimes could be a little even more depressing than just knowing that we're suffering, is knowing where we could be, knowing what level we could be on. Okay, says Gemara Vayter, another conversation. Amle Rava L'Rabba Bar Mari, Minah Milsa Dar Mienshi, Basar Mari Nixi Tivi Mashuch. How do I know that it's a good idea to hang out with rich people, because very often there's a spillover effect? So Amle Nixi V'gam L'Lot Ha'olik Savram Hayetzonu Bakar Va'alim. Lot, who followed along with Avram, also had plenty of material possessions. Again, not from his own doing, but just he hung out with Avram Avinu long enough, and it worked out for him. So now we're finally done with all the conversations between Rava and Rabba Bar Mari. Okay, Amar Rav Chana, Hamosu din al chaveru hu nenash tchila. If a person tries to leave his friend's din, tries to get the Ribbono Shalom min hashamayim to punish somebody else, he's going to be punished first. This is the flip side to what we learned yesterday, that if someone is mispalel for somebody else and he has that same need, he's going to receive the bracha first. And as we explained, he serves as the tzinor, he is the pipe through which that bracha comes to this world. So the same is true with din. If a person tries to bring the midas hadin down into this world, then he's going to be the vehicle through which the Midas HaDin comes down into this world. It may work, but he's going to suffer too. The Midas HaDin is going to hit him first. Shenamar, how do I know it? The Pasuk says, V'tomer Sarai al Avram, Chamasi alecha. Sarai was upset at Avram at a certain point that look, I've given you my shivcha, and first of all, you daven that you should have a child, and you're able to have a child with her. I'm still childless, and second of all, she's treating me with disrespect. She's not showing me the proper kavod that she should be showing me. And therefore, so Sarah says, Chamasi alecha, meaning she tries to get the Ribbono Shalom to mete out justice on Avram Avinu. Uksiv, Ayavu Avram, Lispel to Sarah, V'lifkosa, and who dies first? So it's Sarah who dies first. Avram has to go and be masked with Sarah and cry for Sarah. V'hani mili dislay dina ba'ara. But that's only true. This is only a problem when there's some other alternative. Meaning it's only a problem to be mosu din l'shamayim when you have some din down here that you're able to go to. But if there's no din down here, if there's no one less din v'less dayan in this world, so then you have no choice but to be mosu din l'shamayim, then it's not as problematic. Amrav Yitzchak, Oilo Litzoek Yosem and Anitzak. It's worse for the person who's crying out that someone else should get punished rather than the person about who the cry is being made. Tani Nami Hachi, Echel Litzoek Vechel Anitzak Mimashma, El Shaman Litzoek Yosem and Anitzak. That the Tzoek is the one who's going to suffer more quickly than the Nitzak will suffer. Vamrav Yitzchak, Liolam Alti Kilas Hedyot Kalabeinecha. The Klala of even a Hedyot, even if an idiot, a nobody, gives you a curse, nevertheless, you shouldn't take it lightly. How do I know that even a nobody gives you a curse, you shouldn't take it lightly? Shari Avimelech Kilel Sarah. Because Avimelech was Mekalel Sarah. of Niskayim Mizara, and the Klala was Mekuyam in her children. Even though you would imagine Avimelech shouldn't have the Koach HaKlala, he shouldn't be able to do such things. Nevertheless, it was Niskayim Mizara. Shenemar, Hine Hulecha Ksusei Naim. So Amrla, what Avimelech was telling Sarah was, Hol V'kisisim V'ni V'lo Galisa Shui Sheikh. Since you covered up for me, you didn't reveal to me that this man is your husband, V'garamte Elai Atzar Azen, you caused me this great tzar, Yehi Ratzon, and therefore he gives a curse, Yehi Ratzon Sheheilecha B'nei Ksuyei Naim, that you should have children who are Ksuyei Naim, who are unable to see things clearly. In the sky in Bizarra, in fact, the curse was Mekuyam. Yitzchak gets older, and he's unable to see, and he's blind. So you see that even though it was a klal of a hedyot, so still it shouldn't be kalabeinach. I think, if I'm not mistaken, Rav Moshe has a tshuva, I think in the 8th volume, I was trying to look it up before the shiur, I didn't find it, but I'm pretty sure Rav Moshe has a tshuva where someone asked him, can imagine someone had the audacity to ask him why he gives brachas. What do you think, you're a Hasidic Rebbe or something? Why would you give a bracha when someone comes to you? And he says, look, I give a bracha, I don't think I'm worthy to give a bracha any more than anybody else. But even a birchas hedyot, I'll take halabei necha. So it's true about brachas as well, not just kilulas hedyot. When brachas says a birchas hedyot also should not be halabei necha. So even a birchas hedyot shouldn't be halabei necha. So anyone could give a bracha. Why? What's the svara? Why is a kilulas hedyot and a birchas hedyot? Why does it work? So Rav Moshe explains that sometimes you never know what zuchus a person has that's going to just touch a button or strike a chord up in Shemayim that's going to be effective. You never know. Sometimes a person could be a tzaddik gamur, but he's missing so one particular nuance that on a certain area of bracha maybe would have been helpful. And sometimes a person could be a rasha gamur, but he has this one midah that up in Shemayim it's able to affect a certain whatever it is, a certain bracha, a certain klala. So you never know. The hedyot from whom you get the bracha might have that zuchus, or from whom you get the klala might have that zuchus that he's able to touch a chord up in Shemayim. So that's how Moshe explains why this concept. I always like to say over the story of the Ragachev, I've said it over a million times, but it's a great story, where the Ragachev was talking to another, to a rabbi who came to visit him, and someone had come asking the Ragachev for a bracha, and the Ragachev Beshita didn't like to give brachas. So the Ragachev said, no, I'm not, you're not an apple, I'm not making a bracha on you, whatever it was. He said, I'm not giving you a bracha. So the guy said, so the other Rav who was visiting said, look, even a birchas hedyot is meaningful, so kal v'chomer, bracha from you should be meaningful. So the Ragachev said, so I have a better idea. Instead of me giving a kal v'chomer, a bracha with a kal v'chomer, why don't you give a bracha and you don't even need a kal v'chomer, right? It's mamash birchas hedyot. So that was the Ragachev's sharpness, his harifas. I was just reading Rabbi Taitz's biography, and there's a whole chapter on the Ragachev. He was a ben bias by the Ragachev. Very, very fascinating. Rabbi Taitz said that the Ragachev, people talk about his memory. He said, first of all, till the computer came out, he had no way of expressing to people what kind of memory the Ragachev had. Once the computer came out, he was able to he found a way to express it. But he said, it's not that he had a good memory, it's that he didn't have the koach hashichcha. It's like he wasn't blessed with the ability to forget. He just, it was unbelievable, he said. But, okay, anyway. So, Amar Rabbi Avo, Liolam Yehiyada Mina Nirdafin Vla Mina Rodfin. Person should always be the one that's chased rather than the one doing the chasing. Who are the most chased after birds? It's the Torah of Bnei Yonah, and they're the ones that are cautioned to be brought on the Mizbeach. So the Mishnah said that if you tell somebody, blind your eye, almanas, blind my eye, almanas liftar, cut off my arm, almanas liftar, so the guy's still going to be chayiv, but if you tell him to wound you in some other way, where he doesn't, not in a permanent way, and you tell him almanas liftar, you tell him hit me almanas liftar, so then itak is going to be pater. So amalei rasi bar chamla rav maishna reisha maishna sefer. Why the difference? Amalei reisha l'fishen al demochel al rashi evarim. Because no person in his right mind is really mochel on losing evarim shenim chosrim, on losing evarim that are not going to grow back. Amalei v'chiyada mochel al tzaro. But what, a person is mochel in pain? Titania kemi pitzani almanas liftar pater. But at the end, if a guy says, hit me or cause me pain, almanas liftar, he is pater. But we know most sane people aren't mochel on their pain. So ishtik, he didn't have anything to respond. Amar midi shmiel lachba. So he said, no, did you hear anything about this to address this issue? So he said, the following is the answer. Amalei hachi amar sheshes mishum pega mishpacha. The reason you can't be mochel when about cutting off a limb is because it's not only your embarrassment to be mochel. It's embarrassing for your whole family that the person is going to be missing a limb, the person is going to be blind. So the pekam mishpacha, you can't be mochel. That's not yours. It's on Yanim's cheshbon, you can't be mochel. But on whatever's on your own cheshbon, you could be mochel. So your own pain, your own black and blue mark, that's not embarrassing for the family. So that you could be mochel. In Ravoshia mishum pekam mishpacha. So Ravoshia says it's because of pekam mishpacha. Rava Amar says, no, it's a different reason. Mishum sheino de mochel rashi evarim shalau. It's because a person wouldn't be mochel something that big. You might be mochel pain, and you might be mochel a little bit of suffering, you might be mochel a big bruise, but you're not going to be mochel rashi evarim, you're not going to be mochel losing limbs. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, yesh hein shu kalav, yesh lav shu ken. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, you have to understand, sometimes when someone says yes, it means no, sometimes when he says no, it means yes. I mean, there's such a thing as sarcasm. So if you say to someone, why don't you just cut my arm off, and the guy says, Amnas Liftar, and you say, yeah, you think so? Amnas Liftar. So then, even though you said, yeah, it doesn't mean yes, it means, what are you, an idiot? You think I'm going to let you cut off my arm without making you pay me something for it? So then you have a hein that's really like a lav, and sometimes you have a lav that's really like a hein, right? That's how, if you look at Tosos, Rabbi Yochanan, yesh lav shu kein, yesh hein shu kalav, l'shnim asnisin ka'asi ma'ishan reisha ma'ishan sefer. We're trying to explain the discrepancy between the reisha and the sefer. And Tosus quotes Rashi and then says his own pshat. He says, "Pirush b'kuntrus bein reisha bein seifa im amalei lav b'tmiha havi kehein." If the guy says no, so then you understand that means yes. V'im amalei hein b'tmiha, and if he says yes in a b'tmiha type of way, havi kalav, then that's the same as saying no. V'av matzi the missing bereisha travayu niski gufo umamono. And the truth is, there is no difference between Niske Gufo and Niske Mimono. It all depends on what the guy said. If the guy said yes, the Mishnah doesn't record this part, but that's the assumption in the Mishnah, that if the guy said yes with a sarcastic tone, he really means no. And if he said no with a sarcastic tone, he really means yes. But does he have the koach to be mochel? Absolutely. Do we believe him when he's mochel? Absolutely. It doesn't make a difference what kind of environment it is. However, Rashi says the reason why the Mishnah sets it up that you're not mochel on the niske gufo and you are mochel on the niske mamon is because that's the derech. That's what's normal. But says Tosa that's a very dochak pshat because the Mishnah gives no indication that there shouldn't be any chilik between niske gufo and niske mamono, and that it all depends on the sarcasm. Sarcastic yes or no. So Tos says Nir Lefarish Niske Gufa Filu Amalei Hein Shedoma Kamer Benichusa Mistama Bitmiya Kamer. Tos says no. When it comes to Niske Gufo, even if you think he's sarcastic, if he tells you by Niske Gufo that you do have to pay, and you think he's sarcastic, and he means he doesn't have to pay. Mistama, he's not being sarcastic. And if you think he's not being sarcastic, and when he says you do have to pay, mistama, you know, you really are going to have to pay by niske gufo. It doesn't make a difference whether you read it as sarcasm or not. By niske gufo, mistama, the person is not mochel. Niske mono, mistama, the person is mochel. It seems, at least within Rashi's pshat, that all three answers of the Gemara hold that a person is allowed to be mochel a basic injury, right? If I tell you, punch me in the arm, I'm allowed to be mochel that. I'm allowed to tell you that. Question is, that's true legabe payment. What about legabe the iser of being chovel another person? Can I be mochel that to you? So that seems to be a major machlokas in the Achronim. That's a big. The Shulchan Aruch Rav says that our whole Gemara is only about the iser. It's not about it's only about the mammon rather. It's not about the iser. And that seems to be the shita of the Chavis Ya'ir, Simon Kuf Samach Gimel, and the Chazan Ish in Choshe Mishpat Simon Yotes Os Hey, that you can be mochel the mammon, but not the iser. The Minchas Chinuch in Mitzvah Memches says that you're allowed to be mochel the iser as well. This is what Rabbi Balzam discusses in his article on paintball. Because that's the whole issue. Can you play a game where you're telling people that they're allowed to injure you, right? So if certainly the Chi of Mamon, absolutely you can be mochel. But it seems to be a major machlokas in the Achronim. Can you be mochel stam the niskeag of the iser that the person has of being mazik you? So it's not so pashut that you're allowed to be mochel. It seems to be a major machlokas in the poskim whether you can be mochel such a thing. There is a rush that discusses that if you're The Rush discusses if you're wrestling somebody and then he blinds you, he knocks out your eye while you're wrestling, so he's pater from paying you because why are you wrestling the guy? You know when you're wrestling a person that there's inherent danger. But again, that Rush is talking about legabe the chiyuv, that he's pater from paying you, but not legabe the iser. Legabe the iser, it's a very, very debatable point, and the poskim debated at length. So probably best to stay away from the types of things where you're mochel your friend, or where your friend has been mochel you and says, it's okay, you could beat me with a baseball bat. Probably you still shouldn't do it, because he may be mochel you the money, but not necessarily the iser. Tani nami hachi, hakeni pitzani almanas lifta varmalo hein, hare yesh hein, shu kalav. You say, hit me, and the guy says, almanas lifta, and you say, yes. Well, that really means sarcastic yes, and it's really a no. Kras ksusi, you say, rip my clothing, almanas liftar, and the guy says, really, can I be potter if I do that? Vamal olav, and you say, no, hare lav shuhu kehein. That's a lav, that's a sarcastic, and now that really means yes. Shvaris kadi kras ksusi chayiv. If you tell the guy, break my jug, rip my clothing, he's chayiv. Ureminhi, lishma v'lola avi, lishma v'lola kro, lishma v'lola chalik la'aniyim, that in general, a person is only a shomer when you give him something to protect, not when you give him something to be ma'abed, when you give him something to destroy, when you give him something to rip, when you give him something to be mechalik la'aniyim. In such a case, he doesn't have a din of a shomer. So it sounds like he's not going to be chayiv for anything. So if I give him something and tell him he's allowed to rip it, apparently he's going to be pater. So why in our mission do we say that if I tell a guy you can tear my clothing, he's going to be chayiv unless I explicitly tell him that it's almanas liftar? It sounds from here that the guy's allowed to go ahead and do it, even if it's not almanas liftar. So I'm rafu lokasha hada asiliyade hada lo asiliyade. It depends if he had it beforehand, right? If he had it beforehand and then you tell him to rip it, so that's no good. But if he didn't have it before and you just tell him to rip it, that's better. So Amar Leih Rabba, Lishmar da asi liyadei mashma, but Lishmar makes it sound like he already had it. El Amar Rabba, hava ha da asi liyadei. Now we're both talking about where he had it beforehand. Lo kasha, ha da asi liyadei b'tor shmira, ha da asi liyadei b'tor kriya. Question is, how did he get it? When I gave it to him, was it b'tor shmira? So then maybe when I tell him to rip it, he's still going to be chayiv. But if I gave it to him b'tor kriya, initially to rip, so then he's going to be pater. Hu arnika did tzedakah dasi l'pumadisa. There was a tzedakah box that came to Pumadisa. After the Rav Yosef Gabayahu Gavra, Rav Yosef put it in the charge of a certain person to make sure that the aniyim get their tzedakah. Pashaba, the guy was negligent with it. Osu ganvi ganvua, and therefore got stolen. Chive Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef was mechayev the guy who is supposed to be in charge of the tzedakah funds and got it stolen from him. Amle Abayis. Abayis said v'atani lishma v'lo l'chalik la'aniyim. But doesn't the Bryce say lishma v'lo l'chalik la'aniyim, which implies that the guy is not going to be responsible? He doesn't have a din of a shomer. It's not his pikadon. He doesn't even have to be responsible if his job is to give it out to aniyim. So Amle ani the pumdisa make its kaitzlu v'lishma hu. He says no. The aniyim of pumdisa. It's not up to him to decide who gets what. It's only Lishma v'lo l'chalik la'aniyim. He doesn't have a din of a shomer when he's going to have to make those very tough decisions that we were just discussing on Shabbos about who gets which money, about how to distribute the money. If there's no such decision, he just follows a list. It's just a simple list he follows, that this family gets this, that family. He's the Tomchei Shabbos delivery guy, right? He knows that this box goes to that family, that box goes to that family. That's his entire job. So then he does have a din of a shomer. It is a pikadon, and he does bear a level of responsibility from it. There's an important Tosfos over here. We're not going to have time to read it, but just to raise the point, the Gemara asks the question of Lishma v'lo l'abi, Lishma v'lo l'kra. Tosfos says, what's the kasha from Lishma v'lo l'abi, Lishma v'lo l'kra? All that pasuk is saying is that you're pater from Pshia, but we don't find that, meaning all we see from there is that you don't have a din of a shomer in the sense that if you're Poshea and you got something l'kroa and you were Poshea and that's how it got destroyed, you're not going to be chayiv. But we don't find that you're allowed to be ma'abid biyadayim. There's a difference between being poshea and being ma'abid biyadayim. Being poshea means I really didn't watch it at all. I didn't do anything to protect it. So I was completely negligent in protecting it. Being ma'abid biyadayim is not just that you didn't do anything to protect it. You actively went and destroyed it. Okay, Tosfos has a couple of answers. You can take a look. That's the Tosfos Dibur Maskil Mini. But right now we got to get moving. So says the Mishnah. Hagozalei t'masan kelim. If a person steals wood and makes them into kelim, tsemer v'asan begadim, or he steals wool and he makes them into clothing, mishalim k'shasa gzela, he pays what it was worth at the time of the gzela. And Rashi says, because you were kona b'shinoi, that the ganav is kona b'shinoi, and therefore he only pays what he stole. Gazal paru mu beres v'yaldav, he stole a pregnant cow and the cow gave birth. Rachel Tu'una v'gazza, he stole a sheep that was full of wool and he sheared it. So he pays the value of a cow that's ready to give birth and the value of a sheep that's ready to be shorn, but not the current value of the cow plus the current value of the baby, nor the current value of the sheep plus the current value of the wool. Gazel part of an isabra et sloviyaldo. What if he steals a cow? The cow becomes pregnant by him and gives birth. Rachel v'netana et slo. The gazazai, he steals a sheep and it grows wool by him and he shears it. Mishalim k'shasa gzela. Again, you only pay back what it was worth at the time of the gzela. Zaklal, and this is the rule in case you didn't get it from the Mishnah until now. Kol ha-gazlanim mishalim k'shasa gzela. When you steal something, you pay the value of what you stole. If there's a fluctuation, it goes up, goes down, it's not your business. You steal, you pay what you stole. So Amri etzim asan kelim in shifam lo. Makes sound like in our Mishnah that only if you stole the wood and you turned them into kelim, that's when it's considered a shinoi that you're koneid. But shifam, but if you just smooth it out, which is something less than turning it into kelim, then you would return what you currently have. You would not pay kshas agzela. That's the implication of the Mishnah. Tzemer v'asa and begadim in libna lo makes sound like if you took the wool and turned it into begadim, that's where you're going to have to pay kshas agzela. But if you were just malabin it, if you just whitened it, then you're not going to have to pay. Or a minhi, but we have a stira, gazalates of shifan avanim, assistant, semer of a libnon, pishlam in yakau, mishalim kshas agzela. If you steal wood and you smooth it out, you steal stone and you chisel it, you steal wool and you're melabbing it, those are the two. The first and the third are the ones we're focused on, right? Stealing the wood and smoothing it, stealing the wool and being melabbing it, pishtan v'nikau, or you steal flax and you clean it, mishalim kshas akzela. In those cases, also we say you pay kshas akzela, even though you didn't put it through a major shinoi, like turning it into a kli, or turning it into a beged. We see you still pay kshas akzela. So why does our Mishnah imply that anything less than turning it into a kli or a beged, you wouldn't pay kshas agzela? So Rabbi, Tana didan katani shinu derabanan dahadra v'kol shkein shinu daraisa. Look, when our Mishnah was talking about a shinui, our Mishnah came up with shinuyim that are only a shinui derabanan because there are lesser shinui. You think turning it into a kli is a bigger shinui? I take wood and I put it together in a kli, I can then pull apart the kli and it will be back to the wood it was. I take wood and I smooth it out, so now I changed the nature of the wood entirely. So we're saying that even when you only did the shinuyim in our Mishnah, it's you're kona b'shinui kal v'chomer. When you do a shinui that's never chozer, you're kona b'shinui. Eitzim asan kelim be'eitzim ashupin. You took eitzim that were already smooth and made them into kelim. Umaynin hu nesarim the shinui da'adul b'riyasu. That's a shinui that can go back to its original form. Because if you want, you can just pull it apart. Semra v'asan v'gadim. When we say you stole wool and you turned it into clothing, but semratavu, it's already spun wool, they're already threads. Dishrini dahadul briyasu, because that also can be undone. Dibai sasale, you can undo the entire clothing and turn it back into threads of wool. The kolshkin shinui daraisa, but the assumption in the mission is kal v'chomer, if you do a real shinui, a shinui that's never going to be chazal briyasu. V'tana bran, the tana of the brisa says shinui daraisa katani v'shinui drabana lo katani. Only wants to mention the shinui that works on the daraisa level, not the shinui that works on the drabana level like the ones in our Mishnah. That's one way to answer up the stira. Ravashi amar tana didan nami shinui daraisa katani. Eisim asan kelim buchani dahenu shifan. That our Mishnah is also talking about a shinoi da'araisa. I mean, it's also talking about a shinoi that's not chozel b'riyaso. When we talk about eitzim that you turn it into kelim, it's a pestle which requires smoothing first. Semer vasan begadim namti dahenu shinoi da'ahadar. So we turn it into like a felt cloth, which involves the condensing of many different cloths or materials. So that's something that you can't turn back to what it was. So frankly, if libun miyavi shinoi, is libun really a shinoi? Or a minu lo hispik libun lo achatzavo pater libun ovelo tzavo chayiv, that once you soveya it, so that's a shinoi. But if you're just malabin, not soveya it, apparently you're chayiv sam rabbi lo kasha. HaRabbi Shimon HaRabbanan. It seems to be machlokas, Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbanan. Titania gzazo tavo va'argo ein mitstarif. That when you're figuring out what's mitstarif for Reishis HaGeiz, for the shearings that you're going to have to give the Reishis HaGeiz from, so if you were gozes, you were tova, and you were oreg, you already wove it, so then it's not mitstarif together with the next animal that you're going to shear. Libno, what if you were just malabin it? Rabbi Shimon Amar Ein Mitzarif, Chum Amar Mitzarif. Rabbi Shimon says you already mishane it; it's already a done deal. The Chum say no, that's not Mitzarif. That still is Mitzarif because it's not. That's not considered a major shinoi. So you see, it's a machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbanan whether a libun alone is considered a major shinoi. Okay, we'll do the other answers and we'll just go back to discuss that tomorrow.